And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I am Luke Bjor.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to what in the world can we expect on Friday night this week as the fighting Jeff Broms of Purdue travel into town. And it's going to be an interesting showdown between the two teams, Luke. But before we get into that any further, do you want to give the folks a fine word from our sponsor?
Yeah, the Goal Line Club is sponsoring the 2020 season of Gopher Gridiron Radio. They've been a longtime supporter of us, and we appreciate that. And we're longtime supporters of them now. The Goal Line Club is a great organization to be a part of if you want to, one, connect with other Gopher fans. They are doing some live events. They're virtually live, though, do keep in mind. And it's also a great opportunity to support Gopher football. So if you want to get more information about the Goal Line Club, go to goalineclub.org. All right, Ryan, here we are previewing a Purdue game with the Gophers. And as you mentioned it in the intro, Jeff Brohm and PJ Fleck don't like each other. And that is the narrative street that I intend to go down heavily in this podcast because, frankly speaking, we don't have any reviews to read this week.
Yeah, folks, I know some of you lament this part of the podcast, and I know some of you look forward to it, but we got no new reviews to read this week. There's no new chances for you guys to insert witty puns or witty banter to us or just constructive feedback. So please head to the Apple Podcast, find Gopher Gridiron Radio, leave us a review, and we'll actually read it aloud. Well, what the heck, Luke?
We might have to turn this into just a mailbag segment eventually because maybe we've had all of our Apple Podcast listeners, and that's not true. We have so many more listeners than 300.
Well, here's the other thing. Luke, I mean, yes, we want people to leave reviews, but we didn't even get to it last week. Last week was our 200th episode of this freaking podcast. Right.
It's crazy that I've talked to you 199 times because one time you did it by yourself.
God, well, technically, this is our 200th time together. I feel special.
I remember riding in I was either in Japan or I was in Europe listening to you monologue. And I was like, this is the first time I'm going to be, probably first and only time I'm going to be an actual listener of the podcast and not a participant. But man, that was fun. But we've had a lot of good experiences. We've grown our listener base a ton over the years. So thank you for all those that listen.
I feel like we should be transparent because the last time I looked at the total number of downloads of this podcast, because I don't think we've ever shared.
No, we haven't.
Should we let the people know how many hundreds of thousands of downloads we've had?
You know, we don't technically, we're not like a huge podcast, but we do okay. I think last I looked, we're about 625,000 downloads in total over the 200
which
episodes.
Which is insane. 600 something thousand downloads for Gopher football.
Yeah.
Of which for like the 4 years of this podcast we've been doing it has been largely mediocre. Yeah. And yet we have the good season last year and a lot of people jumped on board. But for those of you who are still listening to this podcast in 2020 with this football team, we just want to say thank you because again, Luke, in my wildest imagination, never did I think we'd get to 600,000 downloads, which is crazy. And if you are an advertiser who's thinking to yourself, they got 600,000 downloads, do the math on that one, folks. All right. And slide into either one of our emails, burnsryanmn@gmail.com, or I'm guessing Luke, what's yours? LukeBuer@gmail?
Yeah. LukeBuer@gmail.com. Yeah. Feel free. Or the DMs, I think, are open.
DMs are always open. Y'all are free to slide in here.
But you know, it's been fun to watch the Kansas City steady growth, and it's been consistently a solid base of users or of listeners that listen. And we thank you for that. We know that you are the hardcore Gopher football listeners.
Yes.
And I know a number of them have taken you up on the 100 pennies offer at Gopher Illustrated.
Well, hey,
previously.
Right now through Thursday, it's 50% off. But I'll be honest with y'all. Like if you are a monthly member right now, you should immediately upgrade to an annual because you're going to save yourself like 60, 70 bucks over the course of a year. But if you're a new member, there is going to be a Black Friday sale coming up here. I think it's like 75% off. And especially because National Signing Day is somehow 28 days away.
Yeah, wild.
I would, if you are waiting, this is me being fully transparent because I love each and every one of you listeners. Just wait until Black Friday. If you're thinking about joining for the first time, and if you are a monthly member, I would seriously think about upgrading to save yourself some money.
So let's actually talk about some of the value they'd get there. You know, we know that Gopher Football doesn't put out an injury report. They don't put out a depth chart, et cetera. But Ryan Burns, you take your best calculated stab at both of those week in and week out. And I just have a few questions about that. Because we don't know. And I know that Jeff Brom, and since we have to go down this narrative street about how they don't like each other, he is also, I believe, very coy in terms of the information he puts out there. So first and foremost to me, Treyson Potts, what's his status? I know he warmed up last game, but we don't know, will he play, won't he play?
Yeah, that was one of the strangest things. So I saw Treyson Potts warm up on Friday night, looked ready to go, and then he didn't play in the game, obviously. He didn't even record a snap. And so I was texting some of my sources, and I was like, why didn't Treyson Potts get a snap? He warmed up. They're like, yeah, he warmed up, but he didn't have game pants on. I go, yeah, he did. I saw him warming up with the same pants as everybody else. Yeah, but, and this is just peak, like, college football coach, he didn't have any leg pads, and you should have seen that. And I was like, are you effing kidding me? How in the world, with me in the press box and them on the field, am I going to be able to tell if he's got knee and thigh pads in? Like, what? What are we? We don't know anything. We asked Fleck on Monday. Fleck doesn't talk about COVID. Fleck doesn't talk about injuries. We asked the questions just because we have to ask the questions to keep the people happy. And there was no update on Treyson Potts' status. Now, the fact that he warmed up and I thought he was going to play should tell you that whatever that injury was that put him in a boot on his right leg, on his right foot, I should say, I would imagine he's probably going to be very close to being ready to go here against Purdue. Reminder that Benjamin St. Juste, starting corner, and starting defensive tackle Keontae Shad, they are both out for this game. Keontae, this will be his third game he's missed because he got bit by COVID, and this will be St. Juste's second game because he also got bit by COVID. And we'll have to see who else is playing once we get there. But the big kind of storyline here is, are Purdue's two best players on offense and defense going to play? And that's where Jeff Brom is, I'm sure, being coy. He said today he's optimistic that Purdue's going to get some key players back this week. Well, who he's talking about is that guy, you may have heard of him, Rondale Moore, one of the most electric offensive players in the Big Ten when he's healthy. Well, the issue is Rondale has not been healthy at all this year with an undisclosed injury because college football. And then their best pass rusher, of which, Luke, can you try to pronounce that name for me?
George Karlaftis.
Yep. So that is Purdue's best pass rusher. You remember last year as a true freshman, Karlaftis was someone that was a true freshman All-American. He's their best pass rusher by far. Well, 2 weeks ago, or 10 days ago, I should say, against Illinois, he suffered a high ankle sprain. He missed the game last week. And even if he's back, you have to wonder to yourself, off a high ankle sprain, how effective is he going to be if he does play? So we're still waiting for the injury status of them. And then apparently the starting quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, is a game time decision with an undisclosed injury, according to Jeff Brom today. So we have a bunch of injuries 48 hours away from game time here as we record it that we really don't have any idea about. So if you want to know more, because you're actually going to watch the game because you're a Gopher football nut and we love you, check out the Twitter machine or check out Gopher Illustrated. I'll be live at the game on Friday and we should have some more updates for you then.
All right, Ryan, if you were looking for insurance now that you're going to be live in the press box, and let's just say you didn't wear a mask, what kind of insurance and who would you go for your insurance?
Well, Luke, I'm so glad you asked, because if I had to go for insurance, I would go to the Burns Insurance Agency owned by my father, Bill Burns. And as we talked about on Sunday night, Luke, with the holiday season upon us, my father, he loves to shop. And I'm not just talking about at the Mall of America or the Maplewood Mall, if those things were ever going to be open now that we're in a lockdown again. Not even the Amazon, which I know your wife is a big fan of. I'm talking about that the Burns Insurance Agency will shop your insurance rates and coverage for you so you don't have to. That's the benefit of an independent insurance agency that has access to over 20 different insurance companies to shop around for the best coverage for you at the best price. So once again, you don't have to worry about that. That's one thing off your plate. So let the Burns Insurance Agency do the insurance shopping for you this fall and this holiday season. And you can find out more by going to insurancebyburns.com or emailing him at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
So Ryan, I just want to get into this preview of Purdue. Before we kind of deep dive into this, I want you to think back to the game last season. And I just want to go over some stats here, just out of curiosity, if you can remember them. So do you remember how many passes Tanner Morgan threw and how many he completed in the game last year against Purdue?
I actually did my research today for my game preview. So I hope I can get this right. I think he was 21-22 for like 390 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, 396 and four.
I was off by 6 yards. Cancel me.
So, I'm sorry. Yeah, cancel you for sure. The other thing, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about how much Purdue throws the ball. Guess how many pass attempts Purdue had in the game last year?
50? I don't know.
They had 49, only completing 27. Jake Plummer and Elijah Sindelar each played.
And the funny part is neither one of them are the starter this year.
Exactly. Oof. So we should get into this this preview of this game. I thought those were just a couple interesting stats. Also, last year, Rashad Bateman, 6 for 177 and 2 touchdowns, one being a 47-yarder. Chris Ottman Bell, 3 for 97, a touchdown for 70 yards. Both had quite good games. But let's touch real quickly on this season. So looking at Purdue, they're averaging 25 points a game. They're averaging 369 total yards. 305 of those come through the air. So if that gives you any indication of what they'll be doing, they will be throwing the ball a lot. Defensively, Purdue is not great. They're giving up 23.7 points a game, still markedly better than the Gophers, who are giving up 35.8. But they are giving up a fairly balanced attack on defense, 257 through the air and 150 on the ground. So interesting, Ryan, to get your perspective on what we're going to see from this Purdue offense.
Yeah, what we're going to see is a lot of passing. And that's exactly what you've seen over the last few years from Jeff Brohm. But you're going to see it even more exaggerated here, I think, this weekend, which is going to be an interesting kind of contrast that we'll get into in my keys to the game. Is Purdue loves to pass the ball, but they're passing it at a clip that is number one in the Big Ten. Through three games, they're throwing the ball 45 times a game. I mean, that's an absurd number. And they're doing it with the walk-on Aiden O'Connell, who's allegedly a game-time decision. I know that's something that I'm talking with some Purdue people this week. They haven't exactly been happy with their quarterback play, and I think Gopher fans would tell them, welcome to the club. But theirs is a walk-on, and he beat out the scholarship guys. And so there's a lot of questions about why did the walk-on develop better than the scholarship guys, but we're kind of going down a rabbit hole because they're passing the ball. And I really didn't even know this because when I first watched Purdue's running back, he's not even really a running back, he's a fullback, playing running back, and I was like, boy, he reminds me of Mike Allstott. And I was like, where did Mike Allstott go to college? You know where he went to college, Luke?
He went to Purdue.
Yeah, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that was one of the luckiest things you could have. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't know if you're old enough because this is gonna age me just a tiny bit. Ugh. But there was a video game, and I don't really play video games, but you know, I was like, you know, peak middle school, not middle school. I was probably still in late elementary school when this game was big. It was called NFL Blitz. Are you familiar with this game?
Oh my God. Have I played that game to the moon and back? Come on
so,
now.
Okay. So Mike Allstott and Warwick Dunn were a lethal combination in that game.
Oh, were they ever?
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure I got that in there. That's really important information that we needed to discuss.
Well, all I remember about Mike Allstott was watching him just with the neck roll with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and I was like, boy, he's just a load to bring down. And then I watched this kid, Xander Horvath. I was like, boy, he reminds me of Mike Allstott. And it turns out they both went to the same college. It's kind of the way I was getting around to that is, welcome to Mike Allstott 2.0. Now, no team has run the ball less than Purdue, with less efficiency than Purdue. Purdue has only run for, I think, like 100, and I'll look at the stats here later when I get to the keys of the game, but I think they've run for like 180 rushing yards in three games. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Opponents are running for like 230 against Minnesota per game. So mm-hmm. something's got to give.
Right.
But they have a really good receiver. David Bell is going to be a future top 45 NFL draft pick. He is a very, very special talent. And if Minnesota can't figure out how to tackle Xander Horvath in the run game and keep David Bell in front of them, as much as Gopher fans kind of lament how much Bateman's been targeted because of the way he's being used, David Bell, to start the season, Luke, had a 21-target game. That's absurd. I've never heard of a football game in 2020 where somebody gets targeted over 20 times. So they are going to go to him early and often. But as we kind of transition here to the trenches, that's where I think if you're looking for Minnesota to have a bounce back game, it's because Purdue's O-line and D-line, especially without their best pass rusher, is very meh. And when the Gophers in recent history here in 19 and 20 with this offensive line have faced meh front sevens, they've had a lot of success. And that's where you hope that Boye Mafe and Thomas Rush and Asezio Tomiwu can also figure out how to generate some pressure around Aiden O'Connell or whoever the signal caller is for the Purdue Boilermakers to make him feel uncomfortable. Their linebackers, from watching a little bit of tape on them for Purdue, are big. I mean, they're big and burly. It reminds you of what the Big Ten linebackers used to look like 10, 15 years ago. So I would imagine if I am Mike Sanford, I'm going to try to get them moving east-west and not north-south to Minnesota's advantage there. But statistically, Purdue has been very average, middle of the pack, I'll say, against the run and the pass defensively. So this should be a game on paper where the Gopher offense bounces back, Luke.
Yeah, in theory, yeah, definitely. This is something that we should expect and imagine. But it should be a very interesting game and interesting matchup. I think they're fairly equal. We'll talk about that more in detail. But I do want to get to, just real quickly, for the Goal Line Club, they are going to be having another virtual event. We're giving you a little bit more time and a little more heads up. This is going to be at noon on Friday, November 27th. So this should be the week of Thanksgiving. Most people probably won't be traveling a ton. You'll probably be trying to kill some time with a four day weekend. Make sure you sign up for this event. It should be a very fun event. This leads up to the Wisconsin game. More details to come on goalineclub.org, where you'll be able to get them in an email. I do encourage you to join the Goal Line Club and find this is a good way to support Gopher football. So it should be a fun event. I will definitely be attending, and I do look forward to these. They are very fun. So again, goalineclub.org. Keep an eye out for the event coming up on Friday, November 27th at noon. All right, Ryan, before we get to the keys to the game, I just gotta ask, do you think we can just skip special teams? Like just as like an homage, not an homage.
Not a chance.
Okay. All
right. It helps me kind of work through it myself. And that's where I was talking to Justin Gard today. And for those of you who don't know, we do Gopher Football Sundays at 8 a.m. on KFAN if you're looking to kill some time. Or
it's really a good opportunity. Like if you're like me and you've been up since like 5:36 because you have a young kid, it's a good opportunity to like subliminally like warp your kid's mind to love Gopher football by just turning on Justin and Ryan. Like they like for my son, right? He primarily only speaks Spanish, but I'm teaching him English via Ryan Burns. Like, honestly, it's a great opportunity to just indoctrinate them with Gopher football.
I'm trying. And it just helps me. Gargi told me today, he's like, you know, Gopher Football Sunday. And he's like, I'm not complaining. It's just turning into you with a gigantic vent session. And so if you want to listen to me vent and rant about anything, including special teams, you can certainly do that on Gopher Football Sundays. But Luke, I can't bring out, it's on brand now. Do you know how many tweets I got on Monday night when we had the crossover fans who were watching the Vikings game, and the Vikings special teams were apparently a disaster. And I got about 15 tweets from all of you lovely listeners saying, boy, Vikings special teams must have took something from Rob Wenger. I'm just like, the brand's never been stronger, so we got to keep it strong on the podcast, Luke.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about your keys to the game. I have to imagine one of those will and is always special teams.
It will be, but we can't start there. You know, we have to start with the Minnesota offense. And my number one key to the game, something we talked about a lot with Derek on Sunday, was Fleck and Sanford need to be aggressive on offense. Everyone listening to this knows the Gophers are 1-3, but they have a minus 27 point differential. Okay, you with me? Mm-hmm. And they are second in the Big Ten in time of possession. So they hold the ball for like 35 minutes a game, yet they're 1-3. It's mind-boggling to an extent, because it's like Minnesota's happy losing by just ball controlling. I don't understand it one bit, but here we are, because Minnesota is currently second with a bullet over Ohio State on the average they've held the ball there. As I mentioned, they are holding the ball for 35 minutes a game, and that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but neither did having a 16-play, 11-minute drive in the third quarter where Minnesota's in no rush at any point. They're just going to run their offense regardless, and then we run outside zone on 3rd and 6 and then decide to kick a field goal down 14 points late in the third quarter. So PJ Fleck talked about this week and in recent weeks about the quote-unquote fingerprint of his 2020 team and how it's different than the 2019 team, and it's going to be different again in 21. And all that is true, but you'd like to think that Fleck and offensive coordinator Mike Sanford know that with the current state of the Gopher defense and Gopher special teams, that the offense is the one with all the experience, talent on it, and that's the unit that needs to be aggressive. The bottom line is, if Minnesota is going to win another game in 2020, they have to start putting their foot on the gas pedal and then keeping it there for all 60 minutes. Now, one of the things I examined this week on Gopher Illustrated, because I was a little bit frustrated with the Minnesota passing game, was Rashad Bateman. Now, Luke, I don't know if you read the piece or not, but Rashad Bateman has played a lot in the slot this year. It's been one of the big talking points on Gopher Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess what percentage Rashad Bateman played in the slot in his first 2 years versus where he is playing this year through 4 games.
I do have to admit that I haven't actually read your piece.
First of all, feels bad. Second of all,
this is a blind guess. I would say previously, you know, we saw a lot of Tyler Johnson in the slot. So I'm going to guess about 9% in 2018, 2019, and I'm going to go about 70% in 2020.
So Rashad Bateman in 18 and 19 and 26 career games before Mike Sanford took over, played in the slot 10% of the times. In 2020, in 4 games, he's been there 64% of the time.
Man, I was so close.
Rashad Bateman has played more snaps in the slot in 4 2020 games than he did in 26 career games before this. And I don't think it's really much of a coincidence that his yards per reception is at all-time low. And that's even withstanding the fact that he has, can you guess what Rashad Bateman's target share is?
Oh, it's super high. It's got to be in the 60%.
Oh my God. It's not that high, but okay. Per Pro Football Focus, Rashad Bateman has a 48% target share, which is absolutely mind-boggling. For those of you who don't know what a target share is, Tanner Morgan is obviously the quarterback and he throws passes. Well, on 48% of those, he's targeting Rashad Bateman. So 1 out of every 2 passes is going to Bateman. Last year, I mean, in a normal, just a normal offense, and you're probably targeting your number one receiver 30, 35% of the time. So that's so exponentially high. Now, I would also mention that in this piece on Gopher Illustrated, I also found out that the vertical passing game is down 52% compared to last season. Minnesota's just not taking deep shots. I don't know why. So one thing I'd love to see change is Mike Sanford. How about you scheme up some more play action deep shots? Ottman, Bell, and Bateman have been pretty consistent as 50-50 ball winners in their Gopher careers. And that Purdue defense really doesn't scare me too much, especially if their best pass rusher and true freshman All-American from last year, George Karlafkas, who missed last week's game with a high ankle sprain, does not return. Purdue has significantly struggled to generate a pass rush. Okay, so if you give Morgan time in the pocket and it's a clean pocket, I feel good about Minnesota's chances of being able to find an open receiver. Just to note, the Boilermakers currently rank 121st out of 125 FBS teams in sack rate. Their sack rate is under 2%. So if Minnesota drops back 50 times, which that'd be real interesting if Minnesota dropped back 50 times, the statistics would tell you they're going to get a sack on one of those. Now, in the running game, I do think you're going to see a bounce-back performance from the Minnesota Moving Company up front, because Purdue's front seven isn't what Iowa's was. They're very middling against the run, and the offensive line and tight end units have shown, as we kind of went through the flow chart last week, if Minnesota's offensive line and tight ends aren't facing Wisconsin or Iowa, essentially, you see Minnesota have a lot of success on the ground. But the point remains the same. Fleck and Sanford need to be aggressive with this offense. Take some downfield shots. Move your playmakers around. Stop leaving Rashad Bateman in the slot, because Mike Sanford uses him to read the defense, which is absolutely wild. That's something that Mike Sanford said today to the media, and you can read everything that he read or everything that he said to the media today on Gopher Illustrated for free. But can we please stop calling outside zone on 3rd and 6 and then kicking a field goal? That's not what I want to see. My second key, Luke, would be tackle David Bell and Xander Horvath. Because the reality for Minnesota's defense 4 games into the season is they haven't been able to stop a running back. Can you guess what opposing running backs through 4 games are averaging against your Golden Gopher defense?
I'm actually embarrassed to speculate and guess, because it's just so embarrassing for the defense. So, 200?
Yards per carry.
Exactly.
200 yards per carry. God bless it, Luke.
I'm just kidding. So I'm sorry. It's about 7 yards a carry.
Opposing running backs have carried the ball 85 times through 4 games against Minnesota. That's not actually a lot. It's only 21 a game, essentially. But they're averaging 9.30 yards per carry, and they've totaled nearly 800 yards. Luke, I don't have to tell you, and you're a smart man, that if you give up 200 rushing yards a game to opposing running backs and nearly 10 yards a carry to running backs, then you ain't going to win many football games. But this is where the interesting dilemma kind of comes in, because the Boilermaker offense is dead last in the Big Ten in carries. They only have 75 carries through 3 games. They are dead last in rushing yards with only 191, and they're also dead last in rushing yards a game was 63.7. Now they ranked 13th in the Big Ten in yards per carry. Regardless, what this means, Purdue doesn't like to run the ball, and they're not having a lot of success doing it. So on paper, this is going to be a big battle, because can the Gophers finally stop an opposing running game, or does Mike Allstop 2.0 and Xander Horvath find success on the ground like every other team to play Minnesota in 2020 does? Minnesota's got to gang tackle this guy, because Horvath's a big dude at 6'3", 230 pounds. Minnesota's defense has had, I don't know if anybody knows this, significant tackling issues, especially with guys that are a little bit bigger. He's more athletic than what I think Gopher defenders are going to give him credit for, but they have to tackle well this week. Now, there's an outside chance that Purdue actually uses a running back, a kid by the name of King Doru, who's their primary running back, but he's been out essentially all year with an injury and has not seen any meaningful action. But the big area that we haven't seen Minnesota test in, I talked about it earlier, is through the air. And that's where Jeff Brohm and this Purdue offense wants to be, because David Bell is one of the best wide receivers in the Big Ten, if not the country. And I mentioned it earlier that David Bell has seen an absurd amount of targets through 3 games. He's got 47 targets in 3 games. To put a giant asterisk or comparison next to it, Rashad Bateman in 4 games has 48 targets. David Bell is averaging nearly 16 targets a game, and I'm not expecting Rondale Moore back this weekend. As I mentioned, He's missed the first three games with a mysterious injury, and Bell has produced in his absence. He leads the Big Ten with 10 receptions a game, and he's second in the Big Ten, I believe, only behind Rashad Bateman in receiving yards per game. Now, I'll remind you, Luke, that Minnesota will be without their starting corner, Benjamin St. Juice, for the next 2 weeks as he got bit by COVID. But the Minnesota passing defense has not been tested because everybody's been finding success on the ground. Yet, the early stats don't look good. The Gophers are second worst in yards per completion at 8.8, and they're fourth worst in the Big Ten in pass defense efficiency. So Purdue's going to throw the ball a ton. But we're going to have to see if Minnesota can generate some pass rush, because the Purdue offensive line, they don't do a lot for their running game. They rank 122nd out of 125 FBS teams in line yards, a.k.a. the advanced statistic that looks at the amount of yards that the offensive line is credited compared to the running back. But luckily for Purdue, Minnesota's defensive line ranks 112th in that same metric, so something's got to give. But if Minnesota doesn't tackle well, Luke, it's going to be a long night.
Exactly. So let's get to
No.
I really am trying. I'm really trying to avoid the special teams topic.
Nope. I'm just over it.
I don't need to be your therapist anymore.
Here are the cliff notes. Number one, special teams, don't be a dumpster fire, because here's where they're at. Dead last in the Big Ten in net yards on kickoff, dead last in PAT percentage, dead last in yards per punt, dead last in net yards per punt. The kickoff return unit cost the offense 29 yards of field position last week compared to if they just fair caught it. Phillip Howard decides to return a punt from inside the five. Well, I guess in that respect, special, it was pretty special. Howard returns a punt inside the five, cost the offense 15 yards of field position, 39 yard field goal blocked. Mark Crawford with a 36 average, only two inside the 20.
I have to sneak in two more.
I have to.
Okay.
Reminder, the Gophers have only 250 yard punts on their last 58 punts, and Minnesota is now approaching the 2 year anniversary of the last time they made a field goal of 41 yards or longer.
How are you going to celebrate that?
I think I'm going to bring a bottle of champagne up into the press box. And if we actually see Minnesota make a field goal, I'm getting rowdy. I'm popping that. Chip Scoggins, Meg Ryan, Andy Greeter, we're going to be out here in these streets, man.
I like the idea.
Got to celebrate Rob Wanger for all the joyous he is.
I like the idea of 40-yard field goal. You just pop the cork. It hits the front glass, just spraying everywhere.
And because there's no one there, you wonder if they actually can hear it down on the field.
Yeah.
And then he shanks it, and everybody's just looking up the press box.
Okay. Well, there's nobody. Nobody else is going to be there. The other thing I want to give kudos. I can't remember the Gopher Illustrator user's name, but he had the comment of the week this week, in my opinion, where last episode, he basically said, you basically said that $100,000 wasn't that much. And then he says, I hear that Ryan's going to pay $100,000 of Wanger's buyout.
$100,000 in terms of college football money is not that much.
I recognize that, but I thought.
I know everybody wants. Again, I'm just.
I just love it. That's.
I don't like calling for a man's job, and I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying. Wanger needs to pick it up, or else this is going to become even more of a dumpster fire.
I'm sorry, it's just too funny. Okay, let's get to some of the betting statistics here real quick, because this does give an accurate, kind of prediction for this game. Currently, as we sit, Purdue is a 2.5 point favorite. On the season, Purdue is 1-2-0 against the spread. The Gophers are 1-3 against the spread. Additionally, the over-under I see right now is 62. Do you remember how this opened, Ryan? Did the Gophers open favored and it pushed towards Purdue? I don't actually recall.
This game opened as a pick'em at 65.5. And now it's as you can get to. Yeah,
yeah, Okay. No, that makes sense. Okay. And then real quickly, just getting a look at the weather, as they might say, it's looking like, not too bad, around 35-ish degrees, around a 6:30 kick. That will trend down, as we go along in the game to just hovering right around 30 degrees. Not a ton of wind, about 7 miles an hour. Given how late it is in November, this is some pretty decent football weather, in my opinion. I don't think anybody's going to complain. And the other piece is there's not a ton of chance of precipitation as well. So, all in all, I would say good football weather. Get after it, guys. Let's have an entertaining game.
Absolutely.
All right, so prediction time. I'll go first. I think I've gone first the last couple of times. We'll stick with the tradition. Until the Gopher defense can prove me otherwise, I am going to be picking them to basically lose from here on out, I assume, until I see I have to earn some faith in them once again, see some consistency like we saw in that Illinois game, but that might just be a function of Illinois being downright terrible. This should be a game that the Gophers should be competitive in, though. I don't think Purdue is great. If O'Connell doesn't go, I would take the Gophers, but I'm going to assume he's going, and this is just a coy metric or a coy process done by Jeff Brohm, and I'm going to speculate that Rondell Miller is going to go, and I'm going to give Purdue a 35-30 victory.
Can you guess? Here's another obscure stat of the day for you. Minnesota and Purdue have played 4 times at home since 2014. Can you guess what the least amount of points the Gophers have put up against Purdue in the last 4 home meetings?
I know that the Gophers put up a ton of points 2 years ago in that snowy, like really cool game. Maybe they averaged somewhere in the 40s.
In their last 4 games at home against Purdue, they have scored 39, 44, 40. So 44, 39, 44, and 41 points.
It's pretty good.
I feel like I'm jinxing them at this point.
It does feel like it.
But, I just can't pick Minnesota because, I think the offense gets back on track this week, but are we really expecting Minnesota to contain David Bell or Purdue not to miraculously find a running game and for special teams to get a punt blocked and return for a touchdown with like 2 seconds left on the clock for Minnesota to lose it? I mean, are we? So I'm going to go Purdue 35, Minnesota 28. Until the defense, and here's the big thing for me this week against Purdue, tackle the big fullback, keep David Bell in front of you, and then special teams don't kill you. And then Mike Samford's got to figure some things out because that was an abomination of a game. I didn't really care for the play calling or the game plan. I want to be able to see Tanner Morgan get back on track. And you designing these route combos and have Tanner try to force these balls into tight windows to Bateman and their suicide balls. I want to see the vertical passing game return for Minnesota. I want to see the tackling improve. I want to see guys in the right spot. This is not an overly impressive Purdue team to me. But we'll see what version of Minnesota shows up on Friday night.
All right, so we want to thank everybody for listening. We appreciate the many of you that have downloaded this podcast over the years. It's kind of wild to think that we've had 200 episodes and over 600,000 people download unique downloads, not 600,000 people, but 600,000 unique downloads. It's really fun. We want to thank the Goal Line Club as well as Burns Insurance for sponsoring us. It's been a fun process. We look forward to many more fun episodes and fun seasons after this pandemic ends. So thank you for listening, and go Gophers.